countries go along with this trumped-up narrative, as evidenced, for instance, by recent votes at the UNESCO Executive Board and its World Heritage Committee. Just say that this is WMFO Medford. You're listening to The Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. To deny the Jewish link to Jerusalem is tantamount to denying the Muslim link to Mecca or the Catholic link to Rome. It's totally ludicrous. Yet it happens again and again. And it must be noted, countries like Sweden and Brazil risk their own credibility by buying into this charade. Indulging the Palestinians in their fanciful history allows them to live in an alternate universe, one where Israel doesn't exist, or if it does, it's only a, quote, temporary and illegitimate phenomenon. And fifth, the world should make it clear, terrorism is terrorism is terrorism. Take Europe. Countries like France and Belgium have been the targets of fatal attacks, and they respond as they should, with a no-holds-barred effort to find the perpetrators and their support networks, and to declare a no-tolerance policy for such bestiality. But when it comes to attacks against Israelis, the language often changes, sometimes subtly, other times overtly. There can be a hint of rationalization here, an immediate call for Israeli restraint there. Phrases like cycles of violence appear, implying that no one really knows or cares who started the process, or that this is really just a Hatfield-McCoy spat without any distinction between the two sides. Yet surely there must always be a clear distinction between the fireman and the arsonist, the Democrat and the despot, as there is in Europe and elsewhere, when such outrages occur. Otherwise, moral fog replaces moral clarity. Ending the infantilization of the Palestinians and beginning to hold them responsible for their actions could be one promising way forward for the peacemakers. AJC. Okay, well, I'm not in total agreement with that, but at least it's giving you certain ideas. Daniel Greenfield has another take on this, but I think I'm going to go next to Melanie Phillips. Wow. She's got a picture here. I didn't see that in my phone, by Francesco Hayez in 1867 about the destruction of the temple. It's pretty graphic of people being thrown over the wall, people being slaughtered in the courtyard. It's pretty scary. This is just the picture. The Israeli government has removed the metal detectors, or magnometers, that it installed at the entrance to the Temple Mount to prevent further Arab terrorist attacks. This is a bad move. Even worse is how the government explained it in terms of total capitulation. This morning, Yoav Gallant, Israel's Minister of Housing and Construction, said in a meeting I attended that the metal detectors were a mistake, quote-unquote, he told IDF Radio. It is clear that from the absorption point of view that it is impossible to transfer tens of thousands of people who are unwilling to cooperate through magnometers. It was clear from the beginning mistakes were made. What is important is that we bear collective responsibility. Let's recap. 10 days ago, three Arab terrorists burst out of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, where they had stored weapons, and murdered two Israeli Druze police officers stationed just outside the compound to prevent any further such violence. Israel put up the metal detectors. The Jordanian Waqf, which administers Temple Mount, threw a hissy fit and told Muslims not to go through the metal detectors, but to pray in the street outside, which they did. It is therefore absurd to say Israel's mistake was to think it could move onto Temple Mount tens of thousands of people who were refusing to go. If they chose not to go there, well, that's their choice, obviously. Israel says it will now install instead high-resolution cameras with facial recognition software and thermal systems capable of detecting bombs. Guess what? The Waqf is still telling Muslims to keep away. The issue is not, of course, the metal detectors themselves, which are to be seen at religious shrines in the Islamic world, but the fact that they were installed by Israel. This is because Arabs falsely deny the existence of the ancient Jewish temples and deny the unique entitlement of Israel to its own ancient capital city of Jerusalem. The issue is not devices, but sovereignty. The Palestinian Authority, which has been claiming falsely for months that Israel intends to take over and remove Muslims from destroying Al-Aqsa and thus has been inciting Arabs to repeated rock throwing and other acts of violence from Temple Mount, has in typical fashion inverted cause and effect over the metal detectors in order to ramp up the incitement still further. Thus, the metal detectors were an act of aggression, keeping Muslims out of Temple Mount, changing the status quo on the compound. Bull. That's my comment. As a direct result of these murderous lies and incitement, an Arab slaughtered three members of the Solomon family in their settlement home last Friday evening. The atrocity was widely presented by the Western media as being part of the, quote, clashes resulting from the metal detectors. This is demonstrably untrue. The slaughter of the Solomon family was a result of incitement and lies. The same incitement and lies which provoked the murder of the two Jewish police officers, which was in turn the only reason the metal detectors were erected in the first place. Clashes, quote unquote, inescapably entail acts of violent aggression between different groups. There have been no clashes over the metal detectors because Israel has committed no acts of violent aggression. The only such acts have been committed by the Arabs against their Israeli victims. The Western media has, as usual, embraced, internalized, and faithfully reproduced the inversion of reality being promulgated by the Arabs in order to incite further acts of violence and murder. The hysteria being whipped up by the Palestinian Authority was amplified by the Palestinians within Jordan, which regards itself as the guardian of Temple Mount as a result of its illegal occupation of East Jerusalem until 1967. Jordan was the first to condemn Israel for closing Temple Mount to Friday worshippers immediately after the murder of the policemen in order to search it for weapons. The Jordanian Parliament Speaker, Atef Tarawana, called the Israeli Arab terrorists who carried out the attack, quote, martyrs who sowed and watered the pure land, unquote. How disgusting. On Friday, thousands of Jordanians protested in Amman over the metal detectors. On Sunday, a Jordanian attacked an Israeli embassy security guard with a screwdriver. The guard shot him dead, and another Jordanian was inadvertently killed in the crossfire. This resulted in a diplomatic standoff between Israel and Jordan, which effectively held the security guard hostage by refusing to allow him to leave the country and demanding to interrogate him. After intensive negotiations, the guard and Israel's entire diplomatic team have now returned to Jerusalem for their own safety. In further Jordanian harassment over the last couple of days, a group of Israeli tourists visiting the supposed tomb of Aaron, brother of Moses, and who, according to tradition, is buried in Jordan near Petra, were threatened with jail by Jordanian police if they prayed or displayed any religious symbols. At the same time, Israel, Jordan, and the U.S. have been engaged in urgent talks to resolve the Temple Mount security issue. It is notable that the Palestinians have been excluded from these talks. It is also notable that Saudi Arabia was insisting that the metal detectors should be removed. The new Trump-led strategy in the Middle East is to marginalize the Palestinians and get Saudi Arabia on board in the battle against Iran and Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Saudi Arabia, whose clerics might be assumed to believe that using Al-Aqsa as a weapons store and theater of war was an unpardonable act of sacrilege, needs both Israel and the U.S. as strategic allies against Iran. Both the U.S. and Israel are anxious to prop up Jordan's fragile King Abdullah for fear of an Islamist takeover of Jordan should he fall. The hysteria being whipped up over those metal detectors threatens the king even more. It seems most likely that they were removed as a quid pro quo for the return of Israel's security guard. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made a point of thanking President Trump, quote, for instructing his advisor, Jared Kushner, and dispatching his envoy, Jason Greenblatt, to the region in order to aid our efforts to bring back the embassy team quickly. This would seem to suggest that the Americans put pressure on Netanyahu to dismantle the metal detectors 2 days after he declared that they would stay put. If so, the Trump team has just forced Israel to hand its enemies yet another victory. Israel further compounded this error by saying the metal detectors were a mistake, thus loudly proclaiming weakness, which in the Arab and Muslim world is always an incentive for further attack. In any event, the problem is not at the root of terrorist violence around Temple Mount, nor is its solution the metal detectors. The problem is the charade of Temple Mount itself. The fact that Jordan, which has no legitimate title on Temple Mount whatsoever, is allowed not only to administer it, but to prevent Jews from free access to Judaism's own Holy of Holies. This ridiculous and unjust status quo has been allowed to continue for one reason only: fear that the Muslim world will ignite if it is altered in any way. This was first displayed 50 years ago by Moshe Dayan, the general who liberated Temple Mount from its illegal Jordanian occupiers, only to hand its administration back to Jordan for fear of Islamic holy war. Temple Mount is a symbol, therefore, of the enduring timidity of Israel and its consequent belief that it can only ever to seek to manage, make deals with, and calm down its mortal enemies, rather than defeat them. It is also a symbol of Israel's refusal to acknowledge that the violence against it is not the result of a land boundary dispute, nor a clash of rival nationalisms. It is far more terrifyingly the product of Islamic holy war. Displays of weakness such as the metal detector debacle encourage these jihadi enemies to screw the vice ever tighter. But the regional situation has now dramatically changed. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, and the other Gulf states except rogue Qatar all desperately need the support of Israel and America. This is surely the time for the U.S. to use that leverage to start addressing the real issues behind this flare-up. What is needed is not metal detectors, but the detection of long-absent metal. Well, that's certainly one way of looking at things. This is by Melanie Phillips at melaniephillips.com from her site Going Wherever the Evidence Leads. Posted July 25th. All right. Well, let's go back to some music from Jerusalem. Let's see if we can get this CD to actually work. Ah, here we go.
How much Hakar Satov I have to you, wonderful Chevah, for coming out tonight. Let's sing one more Niggun. Let's sing one more Niggun. Mamish, close your eyes. The sound crew, the video crew, the photo crew, everyone here working, stop working for a second and close your eyes and daven with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I want to share with you an article from Zuchut. This is Moshe Feiglin, who is the editor. This is his take on the events that have occurred in Israel. They murdered two Israeli police officers. They murdered a family. But they are the victims and the insulted. They are the ones who must be appeased. And they are the ones who now have the legitimacy to continue to murder Jews. Because for 50 years, we have been saying that the Temple Mount is theirs. It is not Israeli sovereignty on the Temple Mount that creates war. It is the denial of that sovereignty that opens the door to conflict. The temporary price that Israel will pay for leaving the metal detectors in place at the entrance to the Temple Mount and clinging to our sovereignty there is nothing compared to the all-out war that we are inviting to our land. If we surrender now and remove the metal detectors and proof of finality that the Temple Mount truly is theirs and only theirs, we are admitting that they were right to murder the Jews. If the beating heart of the Holy Land belongs to them, then the rest of the land belongs to them as well. And all their murderous acts throughout Israel are simply part of their just war against the occupation. There is a price for clinging to the justness of our sovereign existence in the land of Israel. But if we surrender now, we will bring the most horrendous of wars upon ourselves, a war of people who has lost its sense of justice. Now, short and to the point, Moshe Feiglin.
Da 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 dum, da 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 dum, da 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 da. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Okay, in case any of you didn't know exactly what happened in Israel, I want to share with you this. This is from Haaretz, Wednesday, July 26th. Palestinian stabs three Israelis to death during family meal in a settlement home. Grandchildren were locked in a room and weren't hurt. The killer was shot but is still alive. There's a picture that is really horrific of the total blood. I mean, the whole kitchen floor is covered with blood. I mean, buckets. A Palestinian stabbed a father and two of his children to death and seriously injured his wife in a home in the West Bank settlement, Halamish, Friday. Family was having a festive Shabbat dinner to celebrate a new addition to the family when a 20-year-old Palestinian from the neighboring town of Kobar entered the house armed with a knife. One of the women present rushed the children into a room, called the police, and hid. Meanwhile, the intruder stabbed four members of the family. He was stopped by a neighbor, an off-duty soldier, who heard the shouting, rushed over to the house and shot him. The victims are a husband and wife in their 60s and their son and daughter, who were in their 40s. Medical teams rushed them to Sheri Tzedek Medical Center in Jerusalem, but were only able to save the mother. The murderer, Omar El-Abed, was rushed to Rabin Medical Center in Petah Tikva, where his injuries are being treated. Several hours before making his way into the settlement and murdering the three, El-Abed wrote on Facebook in Arabic, "I'm 20, I have many dreams, but there is no life after what is seen in Al-Aqsa." Unbelievable. Israeli security forces say this assailant identifies with Hamas, but is not considered an active member in the organization. During a preliminary interrogation, he said he recently bought the knife used in the attack amid tensions surrounding the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Israeli forces raided the assailant's home overnight and arrested his brother while beginning initial preparations for demolishing the house. The IDF further issued a lockdown of the areas surrounding the village, instructing that no one is allowed to enter or leave the village save for humanitarian cases. The Israeli military will send additional troops to the West Bank on top of the forces already deployed over the past 48 hours. "We have been seeing an awakening in the field since the morning. This is the third terrorist attack inspired by the events at Al-Aqsa in recent days," a senior IDF officer told Haaretz. Hamas expressed its support for the killing. Hamas spokesman Hussam Badran said, "We will continue fighting the occupation in all points of friction for the support of Al-Aqsa." The incident comes after a day of violence in Jerusalem and the West Bank that left at least three Palestinians dead in clashes with Israel. I mean, the word clashes is kind of ridiculous, as you heard me say in a previous article. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Amen. bizo dir khaynu ven akhoyro ven nashuva a hashe alze hoyado veli beinu aleile khosh hu einenu Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh Kol Dor Sheloi Nivne Beis HaMikdash Ve'yamo Kilu Nechera Ve'yamo Im Eshkochem Shehilechem Boro Echo Yoshva Bodon Aleile Ani Boichiyo Eini Eini Yordo Yordo Moyin Nachbisot Dirochenu v'nachkoiro v'noshuva ad Hashem
Yidei noshim rachmonios nishlu yaldeyen yisoymin hoyinu eino imoseinu Ke'almonos Migdoshenu Mipnei Machorav Mipnei Machorav Mipnei She'esobo Sina She'esobo Sina
up arms, I need a hand to hold. But there's nothing I can do, and there's nothing worse than thinking that I am lost without you. I need to be with you. How can I help ease your pain? Just tell me what to do. I am here without you, standing in the cold. How can I help ease your pain, city of gold? I can't stand to see the world close its eyes to the truth. I can't stand to see myself I am lost without you. I need to be with you. How can I help ease your pain, city of gold? I am lost without you. I need to be with you. Yeah, I am lost without you. I need to be with you. How can I help ease your pain? Just tell me what to do.
Da da da. Oh, Open desert tent. History's children in every event are looking for a way to lighten up their load. And brighter than the sun you shine, Jerusalem, you're on my mind. You lift my soul, you echo the divine. Providence that guides us so that we may teach and all may know the hand that may admonish or reward has given us this holy space, Jerusalem. To you I turn, I trace my steps back to you now again. Jerusalem is calling, Jerusalem is calling. Hear it echo through the canyons of your mind, until you reclaim the things you've left behind. It's telling you this just might be the time. Jerusalem is calling, Jerusalem is calling. Calling. just might be the time.